Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra is Yud Beis. On Yud Alf Amud Beis, we are starting towards the top of the Amud. We're talking about loading and unloading sections in the Chatzar. We learned back in the Mishnah on Yud Alf Amud Aleph that you divide the Chatzar. Assuming that everyone gets a significant amount of Chatzar, you can force a division between two partners. And that would be, says the Mishnah, in a scenario where each one is receiving Arba Amos. We also learned yesterday that in addition to receiving Arba Amos, so you're also going to be receiving the four Amos that are in front of your doorway. You have a loading and unloading section in front of your doorway, and that is already dedicated to you. That's an entitlement to you. You have a Zchus Tashmish. You have rights to usage of those four Amos in front of your house. And so therefore you get that, and after that, and then and only after that, do you get to divide the rest of the chatzah. So that's basically what we learned yesterday. We talked about this Dalal Amos in front of your house, and we talked about various buildings that do or do not have the Dalal Amos. Echsadra, for example, the pavilion, so does not have the Dalal Amos. Rashi back in yesterday's daf said the reason why is because with a pavilion, so you simply take your animal, you bring it underneath the pavilion and can load over there. So you don't need a loading and unloading zone in front of the pavilion. The last thing we discussed yesterday was the Achsadra Rumaisa. Some sort of pavilion with very short makeshift walls around it. So there the Gemara says you do have a loading and unloading zone in front of the doorway of such a building. That's exactly where we left off yesterday. We're towards the top of the Amud and Yad Alpha Amud Beis. We're starting with the word Tanur Rabbanan. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Beis Shar Achsadra Merpes Yeshlem Dal Amos, that if you have a gatehouse or a pavilion or a merpeset, it's so funny. I know what that is much better in Hebrew than in English. I'm saying every in Israel, everyone has a merpeset, a balcony. Okay. So Yeshlam Dal Amos. So they have loading and unloading zones. So again, so you have a doorway of any one of these edifices, any one of these buildings opening up into Rishus Rabim. So you have these Chus Tashmish you can use right outside of it for Amos. Hayu Chamisha Batim Pesuchim LaMerpeset. So if let's say you have five houses that are open to one balcony. So in other words, every one of them has a same access point. So you might have thought, like, this is what the Bryce's Havamina is, if we could just spell out a Havamina. Well, since there are five people living there, even though it's a singular access point, but maybe every one of them has like a separate Dalet Amos. But the Bryce says, Ein Lam Ella Dalet Amos Bavad. Since it's one access point to get into the five different houses, so it's only one loading and unloading zone, and so therefore it's only one four Amos in front of it. What about your chicken coop? Okay, so is there a loading and unloading zone in front of your chicken coop? It's kind of a building, so it's, you know, a small building. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Time Amai Mishum Pirukum Aso. Again, the whole reason of the Dal Amos is because of loading and unloading. Hach Matafes V'Olam Matafes V'Yarud. You don't need that when it comes to the chicks. The chicks are just going to hop right onto the chicken coop. They're going to hop right off, and you do not need a loading and unloading zone for your little chicks. By Minei Rav Mirav Nachem Beis Chetzav Mekur VeChetzav Ein Mekur Yeshlo Dal Amos or Ein Lo Dal Amos. What about if it's not a fully developed building, it's only got half a rooftop. Okay, not that functional building. Again, basically, it's another type of pavilion where only half of it is roofed and the other half is not roofed. So Amar Lei Ein Lo Dal Amos, such a building does not have the Zchus Tashmish, the usage of the four Amos in front of it. And the Gemara says, and look, if the unroofed part is the one that is facing the street, for sure, under such circumstances, you're not given the loading and unloading zone. And look, says the Gemara, what you'll do is you'll just simply bring whatever you have, your animal, onto the unroofed section, which anyway is right next to the Rishus Rabim. But the Gemara says, but I'll go even one step further. Even if the unroofed section is interior of that of the Rishus Rabim, I'm still going to say you don't have a loading and unloading zone. Because now what you're expected to do is bring your animal all the way into the interior of your house, meaning the part of the house that's not roofed, and there you're going to do the unloading, loading and unloading. So the Gemara says, so there as well, you are not given that right. Let's say you are opened up to two mavuis. Again, the mavui is the street back then that opened up into the Rishus HaRabim. It's like an alleyway. And you have a house that is that in theory could open up to two different mavuis. So obviously, it means your house is between two mavuis. Right now, you have an opening to one mavui, and it's closed to another mavui. So what would you like to do? I know in associations, going back to trying to make this like a little more practical for us, or just to help us visualize. So like, in other words, your house basically opens up to a street, but there's a fence over there. So can you or can you not open up the fence in order to go in? So again, I'm not discussing association rules. I'm just discussing, just giving us a way to view it. So, b'nei mavui ma'akvin alav o ein ma'akvin alav. And so basically now the question goes like this. So you have now an alleyway where your house does not open up into, but you could just simply make an opening and allow you traffic through somebody else's mavui, yes or no? And the Gemara says, amalei b'nei mavui ma'akvin alav. And the Gemara says, no. Meaning, the people of that mavui that you want to open up to can have a legitimate complaint against you and say, look, we already have a certain amount of traffic running through our mavui, and you have an exit point, you already have an egress, so you don't really need this as an egress. So now, all you want to do is just add more traffic. You can't do that. So the B'nai Mavui really have a tie against you, and they could say that, no, you cannot open up your door into our Mavui. Achsan yilafi B'nai Adam mitchalakes, o lafi psachim mitchalakes. The Gemara is going to now go off on a small tangent, discussing the halachas of Achsanya. Okay, halachas which, again, to us, hard to relate to. We don't have this nowadays. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, what are we talking about? Echel shamel chamuta al b'nei ha'ir lasis lehen achsanya bevateihem. Okay, you'll remember learning about this in early American colonization. And this was back, this used to be much more popular. You had the army, a local army, coming through town, and it was expected that the members of the community were going to host the army, host the soldiers in the army. And basically now what you're going to have is an expectation for all the homes to take in a certain number of soldiers. So now, how is it going to be divided? Meaning, your expectation and responsibility of how many soldiers you're going to take in. Is it going to be based on the number of people living in your house, or is it going to be based on the number of doorways you have into the mavui? So, it sounds a little bit strange, but if you remember, just yesterday, we talked about how, at least according to one opinion, the division of the chatzir is going to be relative to how many openings you have into the chatzir. So, there are certain, again, that's not everyone's opinion, but you see that there are certain rights given to those who have more entrances, and so therefore, with more rights comes more responsibility. So the Gemara says, so how are we going to do it? Amarle lefi b'nei adam eschalakis. So the Gemara says it's based on the number of people in your home, not in the number of entrances you have to your door. Tanya mehachi, the Gemara quotes.
The more people, the less soldiers.
The less assassins. I like that svara. The Gemara does not spell it out. Meaning, I hear your svara. The Gemara does not tell us which way it's going to be more, which way it's going to be less. So, right, it's up to you and me to figure it out. even Rashi doesn't tell us, by the way. So, okay. Okay. So anyway, Lefi b'nei adam eschalakes tayin amihachi. The Gemara quotes a brisa, and the brisa says exactly the same point. Zevah shebechatzim eschalakes lefnei psachim. As far as the manure in the chatzir, right? You penned up the animals. The animals now unloaded. I'm saying it nicely. The animals unloaded in the courtyard, which is good, meaning you want that. So now you have a pile of manure. And now how is it going to be divided? So it's going to be divided per door. Okay, so for every door that you have, that's going to be now a point for you in terms of how much manure you're going to collect. So the achsan lefi b'nei adam, and that part of the brisa was interesting, but it's the next part of the brisa which we want in this context, in terms of how many soldiers you have to take in. It's going to be relative to the b'nei adam, to the number of people living in your house. Okay.
We're making a political comment by using those two examples.
That's an excellent observation. I'll let the statement stand on its own. Okay, very good.
What's the number of doors affect how much manure you get?
Rights and responsibilities. It gives you a certain amount of rights in terms of how much chatzah you get, how much chatzah you get divided. So therefore, more rights. I don't know. The question's still better than my answer, but that's what we saw yesterday. The Gemara's repeating the same point today. But still, you're right. It's not the doorways are not really the critical point, but okay.
It's your four amas in front of it.
Yeah, but it's more than four amas, though. In other words, it's the manure of the entire chatzah. So Okay. Amar Rav Huna Echad Mibnei Mavui Shabikish Listom Keneged Pischo. So Bnei Mavui Ma'akvin Alav Shemar Ben Alam Esaderech. Let's say you want to quarter off your four amos, meaning you have four amos of loading and unloading in front of your house. Good. So that means that you can. I mean, I understand in our modern day and age, we're talking about cars and parking, but basically, you can park right in front of your house. Right. So, can you now, can you fence it off? So, really, what the Gemara is touching on over here is a really basic issue, and that is as follows. Like we learned yesterday, like we're continuing today, you have rights to those four amas in front of your house. Now, do those rights also make you kind of like a quasi-owner of it? Now think about it, as we learned yesterday's daf, when it gets divided, when the chatzah gets divided, the first thing you get is those four amas in front of your house. Then and only then do you get we have a discussion and a division of the rest of the chatzah. So to a certain degree, we know you have rights, but basically do those rights allow you to section it off? That's the Gemara's question over here. So, Amar Rav Huna, Echem Ibnei Mavui, Shabikish Listom Keneged Pitzcho, Bnei Mavui, Ma'akvin Lav, Shemar Ben Lames Aderech. So Rav Huna doesn't really discuss it. He has a very firm opinion. And that is, you cannot section it off. Because once you section off that loading and unloading section in front of your house, so now when people walk, people are going to have to walk around. And once you create more walking for other people, so you have no right. You are infringing on the right of way of other people. And so therefore you can't do it. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to challenge with a brisa. Chamesh chatzeres p'suchos l'mavui. If you have five courtyards open up into a single mavui, kula mishamshos imachitzona. So now, keep in mind, it's a mavui sasum. It is a closed mavui, which means that once you're in the mavui, there's only one way to go out to the street, wherever the opening is. So we're talking about now the five chatzeres, they're in a row. So let's give them numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five is all the way in the interior. One is all the way at the edge, right by the Rishos HaRabim. So in order for two to get out, for him to go into the street, so he's got to go through past the opening of one. When three goes out, he's got to go past the opening of two and one. Okay, everyone understand? When five goes out, he's going to go have to pass the opening of 4, 4, 3, 2, and 1. So, says the Braisa, Chamish Chatzeres Pesuchos Amavu Kol Mishamshos Imachitzona, VaChitzona Mishameshos LaAtzma. Now the outer one is Mishameshos LaAtzma, VaShem Mishameshos Imashnia, VaShnia Mishameshos LaAtzma, UMishameshos Imachitzona. Nimtzis Penima Mishameshos LaAtzma, Mishameshos Im Kol Achas VaAchas. Now, as far as the last chatzer, meaning the most interior, so as far as he's concerned, so nobody has quote unquote a right of way in front of his house. And so what it sounds like from the Braisa is that he can section off his right of way for Amos because he is not impinging on anybody. Rashi points out over here, this seems to be going against Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna says flatly and categorically that you cannot section off your four amos, whether or not it impinges or doesn't impinge on anyone's right of way, you cannot section it off. From the Braisa, you get the sense, well, it depends. If you're living right by the Rishos HaRabim, no, then no. Or if you're second, or if you're third, or if you're fourth, then no. But if you're the fifth guy, sounds like from the Braisa, you can section it off. So the Gemara says Tanaihi. So the Gemara says fine. I'll tell you this. It's not a cut and dry issue. It's a machlokas Tanaihim. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes the following Braisa. We already saw this part of the Braisa earlier this morning. And that is that if you have an opening point to one Mavui, you cannot open up to another Mavui, introducing traffic into the other Mavui. Now, if you had a doorway that was there closed and you want to reopen it, so the Bnei HaMavui cannot say to you, hey, wait one second, you closed it, that's it. Since historically you had a doorway there, so therefore you're allowed to reopen it. Dear Rebbe, that is all the opinion of Rebbe. And then Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar Omer Chamish Chatzeres Apsuchos Amavui Kulam Mishamshos B'Mavui Zu Im Zu. If you have five chatzeres open up into a mavui, so they're all going to make use of the mavui one onto another. Period. Now, there is clearly a debate in this Braisa. However, when Rebbe was talking about opening a door of a house into a mavui. And then Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar starts talking about chatzeros, and who was talking talking about chatzeros, meaning it's a not a total non sequitur, but it's a non sequitur. Like, where did chatzer come up in the discussion where Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is reacting to chatzer? And that's exactly the Gemara's question. Chatzeros man dekashmaihu. Who was talking about chatzeros that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar brought it up? Chasur mechzer v'hachi ketani. So there must be a part of the brisa that's missing because there must be some sort of debate regarding the chatzer. And here's what we're going to introduce now into the brisa to make sense of the brisa. Here we go. Meaning, what Rebbe was introducing is the idea that when there are five chatzeros in a row in a mavui, so again, anyone who is closest or second or third or fourth closest to the Rishus Rabbim, they cannot section off their Dalet Amos, their loading and unloading section, because they're going to be impinging on people's right away. But the last chatzer, the one that is most interior, so he can section it off. And to that now, here comes Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and he says, "Amr chamesh chatzeros hapsuchos l'mavui kulam shamshus b'mavui." They all have equal rights to the entirety of the mavui, even to the part of the mavui that is most interior, and therefore nobody, not even the most interior person, can section off his loading and unloading section. So you see now, as we have gone over the brisa and and understood the brisa properly, that this issue of Rav Huna, of whether or not you can section off your loading and unloading section that's in front of your house, and you're not going to be impinging on people's right away. So now we've learned together that the machlokas tanayim in this brisa. Amar. We're on the very bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Going back to a line that we said in the Braisa, Haya Sosam Abikish Laposchem B'nei Mavu Makvin Alav. So one of the halachas mentioned in the Braisa is that if you had a doorway open up to the Mavui, you closed it, you still have right to that doorway, and if at a later point in time you would like to reopen the door, so you may do so. And the people in the Mavui cannot say to you, hey, wait one second, you're introducing more traffic, and the reason why is because historically you had a door there, so therefore you have the right to open it up once again. Ravis makes the following proviso within this halacha. Let's say you close the door, but you did more than just close the door. Close the locket, you took off the frame of the door. So now basically it's wall. You basically now have wall that's left. No longer can you say, hey, look, historically I had a door once upon a time here. I would like to reopen the door. Now that you close the door and you remove the frame of the door, so from this point going forward now, you have totally given up your right to this mavui, and it cannot be reopened. The bnei mavui can stop you from reopening it with the argument that you're going to be introducing more traffic. Okay. Amalei Abba Rava Tanya Maseilach. So Abai says to Rava, good, very good. I'm going to quote a braisa supporting what you just said. Very top of your base of manalas. Abai sasim yeshlo dal amos parsa pitzima venlo dal amos. The braisa says it super clearly that when you have a house that's closed, it still has a loading and unloading zone. But once you take the frame away, that's it. You lose your loading and unloading zone. Okay, skip the parentheses. Abai sasim just as a brief introduction to these two lines of Gemara, it's a Tosefta. The halacha goes like this. If there's somebody buried in the ground, so that's what's called a kever. Okay, and that part we all knew. And the halacha goes like this. You can't, let's assume you're a Kohen, you can't stand directly over the kever, because you're going to become tameh through what's called tumas ohel. Tumas ohel means that you yourself, your body, is creating a tent over the kever, and you're going to become tameh. So that's only true if you stand directly over the kever. If, however, you're standing next to the kever, so then you're not going to become tameh. But because the body is buried in the ground, so it's hard to know exactly where the kever is and where you are. Therefore, the chachamim put a, and you know, they make a fence around the Torah. So here, literally, they make a fence around the Torah, in that you cannot be within four amos of a kever. So the halacha is, it's a halacha psuka, it's a basic halacha, which is that a Kohen cannot walk within four amos of the perimeter of a kever, about approximately 8 feet from a kever. we are now taking that idea and translating it now to a house. Now, a house is not a kever, but here comes the point. If the house has no doorways, and not only does it not have a doorway, but it doesn't even have a frame of a door, so then halachically the house is going to be treated like a kever, so that no kohen can be within 4 amos around the house. So meaning halachically the house takes on this idea of a kever. I'm going to read it again in the Gemara. That's exactly the point being made over here. Baisa, so meinam atame kol svivav. If the house is closed, meaning it's just there's a mace in the house, and the doorway's closed. So, but there's a doorway, which means that it's not a kever, it's a house. And therefore, you don't have the 4 amor perimeter around the house. But once parasitz pitzimav, but once there's no door to the house, and there's no frame to the door of the house, now the house has a halachic status of a kever, and metamik kol svivav. So now it's got that perimeter, that 4 amor perimeter that's around it.
But we know I don't know.
Huh?
It's a different case. We're not concerned the car is going
to
go on top of the house.
No, but even next to the house. Meaning once the house is no longer has a doorway, no longer has a frame, the house halachically is treated like a kever, the kohen can't even walk 4 amas within the house, from the outside of the house. Okay, more right-of-way discussion. We are now discussing a mavui mefulash. So it's a street opened up on two sides. And so therefore, obviously, this mavui is allowing people to access from one point to another point. So, mavui mefulash al seir acheres, and let's say this mavui allows people to walk to another city. And let's say they want to close off the street. The next door city can say to them, no, this has now become a public access point. It has now become a right of way. And even it's not this city that's objecting, it's the neighboring city that's objecting, but they have a legitimate objection. And that is, once this mavui is a right-of-way passage to get from your city to our city, so then you cannot close it off. And the Gemara says, and let's say the Chiddush even better and bigger. If this is the only access point to go from one city to another city, it goes without saying that they can't close it off. But the Chiddush will go even one step further. And that is, let's say there's another means of getting from point A to point B. There's another alleyway, there's another street. But still, once this has become a public thoroughfare to get from point A to point B, from one city to the other city, so the members of the other city can say, hey, you cannot close this off. And the Gemara quotes a statement by Rav Yehuda Merav, which is that once you have an accepted pathway, a public pathway, so you cannot destroy it, you cannot close it off. And the Gemara says, and that's even the Chiddush over here, even if there's another access point. Skip the parentheses. Amar of Ananam Shmuel, Mavuasam of Falashos Rishus Arabim. If let's say you have once again a mavui mefulash, it's open on both ends, and it opens up to Rishus Rabim, Ubik Shibane Mavos La Amidlahem Delasos. And the people, the members of the mavui, would like to make a gate. So basically, they want to take an ungated community and turn it into a gated community. So, but again, it's not the best way to describe it. I know I try to use our modern structures to explain the Gemara, but it's not so much that it's a gated community versus an ungated community. This is a mavui mefulash. It allows people to get from point A to point B. And so now the members of the mavui want to close it off. So b'nei Rishus HaRabim, makvin aleihem. So once again, the Rishus HaRabim, right, this is a case of state versus a mavui. So the public can say to the many mavui, no, this has for us now become a right-of-way passage to go from point A to point B, and therefore you can't close it. Now, the Gemara says, okay, here's what we thought. We thought, I kind of get it, you can't close off the entire mavui, But that doesn't really mean the entire mavui. It only means the 4 amos that are approximate to the Rishus HaRabim. Because this is a havamina. Because we think that there's so much traffic in the Rishus HaRabim, it's going to spill a little bit over into the mavui. So those first 4 amos of the mavui really are considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. And Kidrab Zeran, the Gemara says, and look, halachically, we know that the first 4 amos of the mavui proximate to the Rishus HaRabim has, in certain areas of halacha, Rishus HaRabim status. For example, Amar Rav Nachman, Kidrab Zera, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Nachman. That the four amos of the Mavui that are proximate to the Rosh Hashanah had the status of Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Gemara here doesn't spell it out, but Rashi does. We're talking about the halacha of Safek Tumah. We know Safek Tumah Rosh Hashanah, Sveiko Tahor. Safek Tumah Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Sveiko Tame. So, if I have a doubt of Tumah, there it makes all the difference in the world whether you're in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim or Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So in the street, the Suffolk is Tahor. In a private area, meaning in a closed off area, Sveiko Tame. So what Rav Nachman is teaching us is that vis-a-vis this halacha, the first four amos of the Mavui that is proximate to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, vis-a-vis this particular halacha, has the status of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Gemara says, so now when we thought that you're not allowed to close off the Mavui, so in the Hava, I mean, we think it's talking only about the first four amos of the Mavui, considering that in other areas of halacha, it's like a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But the Gemara says Velohi. But the Gemara says the comparison is not a good comparison. Hasam Linyan Tumah. Vis-a-vis Tumah, yes. The first four Amos are considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Avahacha Zimna Dedachim Bnei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Vayil Tuvah. But over here we're talking about the spillover from the street into the Mavui. And sometimes the spillover can be excessive. So therefore the Bnei HaMavui do not have the right to place a door in front of their Mavui. And they're just going to have to accept that in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim spillover, the traffic overflow is allowed to go through the entirety of the Mavui. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of this part of this section of the Gemara. So we discussed a lot of discussion about loading and unloading areas in front of your house, a lot of zoning regulations regarding streets, Mavui Sasso, Mavui Mefulash. We're going back to the Mishnah, and we're commenting now on the line of the Mishnah. We talked about the division of a chatzer. So the basic rule of thumb of the Mishnah, which the Mishnah actually gave us, is that as long as each person is getting a significant amount of whatever is being divided, so then we could force a division. To which now the Gemara makes the following comment. If you remember the Mishnah, in terms of chatzer, how much chatzer does each person have to receive? So, interestingly, there was a debate in the Mishnah. Not by chatzer, but by Gina. Okay, take a look back at the Mishnah. So, I'm looking at the wrong Mishnah. There we go. Okay, sorry. The Mishnah on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says that in order to divide a Sadeh, so you have to have 9 Kabbim for one person and 9 Kabbim for another person. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. 9 halves, which is 4.5 Kabbim for one person and 4.5 Kabbim for another person. Okay, so it's an interesting debate. What are they debating? So the Gemara says they're not debating. And that's the Gemara's point right now. The Gemara says, really, there's no debate in the Mishnah. Marki Asrei or Marki Asrei. Each one is reflecting their own communities. Okay, now what does that mean? So it means as follows. Basically, again, the utility of a field is the produce that it produces. And as long as each person is getting a significant amount of produce, so then we can force the division of the field, of the sada. What is considered significant? Well, it really depends on the quality of fruit. And that's what the Gemara here is telling us. That some communities, meaning in the Tanakhama's community, so in order to have a significant amount of sada, so you need enough to produce 9 kabin because the quality of their fruit is not that good. In Rav Yehuda's community, so for him, the quality of his fruit is so good that even if you have half that amount, the quality of food is so good, that's considered significant. That's what the Gemara is telling us, that it really is a function of what the Sada is producing and the quality of fruit. Now, the Gemara says, now what about Bavel? Now, the assumption going into this Gemara over here is that the quality produced in Bavel is not as good as Eretz Yisrael. So that means that you're going to need more land, more Sada, in order to force a division. So how much are we talking about? So Amar Rav Yosef, Beirada Yumei. So an amount of land that it takes for an entire day to plow. Okay, so here we're talking about, we're not giving a linear measurement. We're talking about a measurement based on how much it would take to plow, how much land would take to plow in the course of one day. Now, my Beira de Yuma, now the Gemara over here is going to be very specific about what is one day's worth of plowing. Now, here again, me being the non-agriculturalist, I'm not a farmer. I have no experience of farming. So for me, I'm just going to present the Gemara as best as I can. I'm limited in terms of how much I understand all this. But basically, there were two plowings that were done. There was a plowing that was done after the harvest, and there was a plowing that was done right before you planted. Presumably, the plowing that was done right after the harvest, that was hard plowing. Meaning the land at that point in time was hard, and just to plow and soften the land, so you're softening the land, it's going to take a lot of work. As opposed to the plowing that you do right before you plant the seeds, so already there the land has already been plowed once before, so you're plowing it now once again. It's an easier plowing. So the Gemara basically says, when we talk about a day's worth of plowing, are we talking about the plowing that's done immediately after harvest? Or are we talking about the plowing that's done right before we plant the seeds? Again, based on the fact that one job is easy, another job is hard, so it's going to be either a smaller or bigger parcel of land. And the Gemara over here is bothered by the fact that if we're talking about one day's of plowing in the planting, so that's Trey Yuma Karva Lohave, that's not enough for 2 days of plowing at the beginning of the season, right after the harvest. And Yuma Karva Yuma Dezare Lohave. And if we're talking about one day's plowing at the first time, so that won't get you to 2 days of plowing during the seeding. Now, why do I need a match of 1 to 2 days? So it's not perfectly clear. It seems like from Rashi, it really is a rental issue. Meaning, right, I was just last week during the yeshiva week, I was in New York for a couple days, and we rented a car. And so we rented a car for a day and a half. So the argument that we all make every time is, yeah, I didn't rent it for 2 days, so don't charge me for 2 days. So it's a lovely argument, but none of the rental companies seem to buy into that argument. They all charge you the second day, doesn't matter. So over here, that seems to be basically the issue of the Gemara, is that you're going to be renting the animals, this is the way Rashi presents it, you're going to be renting the animals, and so if we're talking about renting it during the hard plowing season, so that's not a full 2 days for the easier planting season. And if it's you're renting it for the two days of the planting season, that's more than 1 day of the hard plowing season. I still don't fully understand it. Why do I need these 2 days to match? All right. Anyway, just I'm admitting that I don't perfectly understand all this discussion. Right. So, So the Gemara basically now just tries to make a match of these two different types of plowing. So one suggestion of the Gemara is that we're talking about where we're plowing during the hard plowing season, meaning right after harvest, and the custom back then is to plow and to replow it. So you're plowing it twice. That second plowing obviously is going to be a lot easier because you're just replowing what you just got done plowing. So and the Gemara says, or we could be talking about Yuma Dezara on the day that you are planting, where it was already plowed once before, and all you're doing is just going over it again. All right. So basically, the larger point, because I definitely just got lost in this whole discussion of plowing, hard season, easy season, the basic idea is that in Bavel, because of the inferiority of the fruit, so therefore in order to force a division of a field, you need a larger parcel of land. That's the larger point of the Gemara. Okay, Davla. Now what if we are dividing a water source? So I'm Rav Nachman Beidala Yuma. So each one needs to get a fair share of the water source where they can irrigate their field for 1 day. Pardesa, what about an orchard? Amar Avu Dishmua Bashosha Kabin. So each one has to get enough of the pardes to get a yield of 3 kavin. Tainami Hachi, the Gemara Courts of Raisa, supporting this as well. Amar Lachaver Manas Bekeren Ani Mochelach, that if I'm selling you a kerem, a vineyard, so Simchas Amar Lo Yivchos Mika Makabin, so Simcha says that the smallest amount of significant vineyard is a vineyard that produces 3 kavin of grape. Ruchatana Mechel, Shekolim Biberon. Amar Rav Yossi in Eilu Ela Divrei Nevius. Rav Yossi says these are all just this is all prophecy. He's not saying that, says Rashi, as a compliment. He's saying that as over here, basically a statement of wonder and what are you talking about, right? Rashi says Ein Zeh Ela Divrei Nevius Below Tam. You're throwing out numbers. I don't know what the source of this is. Like I don't. Where did you get all that from? Okay, so Bevavo Mai. Excuse me. Out in Bavel. So again, the going assumption of the Gemara now is that in Bavel, the produce is inferior, and therefore, in order to force a division of a vineyard, it's got to be a larger vineyard. So what are the numbers out in Bavel? So Amar Rava Bar Kasna Tzlas Atziasa B'nei Tresar Gufne. So it's got to be three Atziasa. Every atziasa is made up of 12 vines, right? A 12-vine pattern is called an utzi. I also just feel like I learned that for the first time. And so you need a field that has three of them. The amount that it would take for a person to hoe and to work over the course of one day. So again, this one-day measurement of Bavel is the amount of significant land that you need in order to force a division between the two partners. Okay. We are going to segue now. The Gemara just a moment ago quipped how I don't understand where these numbers are coming from. They're Divrei Nevius. It's prophecy. Meaning, I just don't get it. To which now it allows the Gemara a chance to discuss a moment this idea of Nevuah. So we're going to segue now in the Gemara to a discussion of Nevuah. Amar av avdime demin chayfa miyam shechav beis hamikdash nidla Nevuah min neviim v'nidna lechachamim. So from the day of the destruction of the beis hamikdash, Nevuah was taken from the neviim and handed over to the chachamim. Okay, now atu chacham lav navihu. The Gemara says, I don't understand. The statement is made as if they are mutually exclusive. So you don't think a chacham could also be a navi, meaning you could be both. So hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, no. What we meant was the following: afa pishin nitla min a neviim, min a chachamim lo nitla. No, nevu was taken away from the neviim. Done, but still left by the Chachamim. Certain Chachamim had elements of Nevuah. Amar Amemer v'Chacham Adiv Minavi. Amemer says that if a choice between a Chacham or a Navi, so a Chacham is greater than that of a Navi. Shenamer v'Navi levav Chachma. That the Pasuk says in Tehillim that the Navi has the wisdom of a Chacham. So when you're making a comparison, you always make a comparison to something which is greater than you. Right? He plays like, and you know, insert your favorite player. So so me nitla b'mi havei amar kat nitla b'gado. When you compare, you're always comparing something to which is greater. So the Navi, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Navi levav chachma, that the Navi is like a chacham. So obviously the chacham is greater. Amar Rabbi Teda damar gavaraba milsa umit amar mishmei de gavaraba achrina kavase. And the Gemara says, and I will try to prove to you this idea that the chacham has elements of Nevuah to him. Because the Gemara says that sometimes a great person says something and it was said by another great person. So how did the two people say the same thing? The Gemara right now is offering as an explanation, must be Nevuah. To which the Gemara says, no, it doesn't have to be Nevuah. Amar Rav Omai Kushiv, Dama Tavar Ben Echad Mazlan Nino. You know, they could be the same, these two people who said the same thing are coming from the same Mazel. Over here, Mazel, not to be taken super literally, doesn't mean that they're following the same constellation under the same astrology. Over here just simply means that they are, you know, they're both significantly bright people, and you're going to have that. Meaning, if you have two bright people, even though they didn't have a communication with one another, they're both going to arrive at the same conclusion, having nothing to do with Nevuah, just simply because, you know, bright people will arrive at the same conclusion. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, your point is well taken. Sometimes a person will say something, and it turns out that what he said was exactly what Rabbi Akiva ben Bar Yosef said, meaning Rabbi Akiva. Now, as Rashi points out over here, we will assume that nobody's at the level of Rabbi Akiva, right? Rashi on the top of Yud Beis Amud Beis. V'leika l'meimar b'nei chad mazlan inush, arei Rabbi Akiva chachamim anu arbei. we'll assume that Rabbi Akiva is greater than whatever contemporary Chacham, Talmud Chacham is of our current day and age. So if you say something which coordinates to Rabbi Akiva, so the Gemara is assuming, oh, it must be Nevuah. So I'm Rav Ashi, my Kusha. Rav Ashi says, again, that's not definitive proof to Nevuah. It just simply means that you're not as smart as Rabbi Akiva, but you guessed correctly. The Gemara says, Ella, I'm sorry, Demalaha Milsa Bar Mazlehu. Or, we don't even have to say it's a guess right now. We'll get to that in just a moment. Or it could be, look, overall, you're not as great as Rabbi Akiva, but in one particular area, maybe you've arrived at the point where you're going to say something as smart as Rabbi Akiva. But that's not proof of Nevuah. Elam Rav Ashi Tei D'damer Gavur Rabba Milsa Medamer Halach LaMoshe Misinika Vasei. So the Gemara says, well, a person will say something, and unbeknownst to him, it coordinated with something that was said by Moshe Rabbeinu, and in the realm of Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. And again, the going assumption right now, nobody's going to be a match for Moshe Rabbeinu, and so therefore, it must be that this is coming about via Nevuah. And the Gemara says, once again, this is not proof positive. V'dilma b'suma baruva v'lav tam yahiv. So the Gemara says, lucky guess. Right? The Gemara has a great expression. Right? Sometimes the blind person will navigate up and down the ladder through the skylight, and not because he knows what he's doing, he's blind, but, you know, sometimes you get lucky. So basically, right? What the how's the expression go? The broken clock is right twice a day. So over here, so okay. So you said something which coordinated with Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. That doesn't prove Nevuah. Could be that it was a lucky guess. I'm Rav Yochanan. This perhaps is the more famous Gemara of today's daf. You probably heard this one before. What's today's daf? Rav Yochanan says that from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Nevuah was taken away from the Nevi'im, and it was handed over to Shotim and Tinokos. So to the fools and to the children. Shotim, and the Gemara is going to give now two agadatas that are going to prove this point exactly. So if we start off with the Shotim. So Ma'iki Ha'damar Baravashi Da'avekai Beristaka De'mechuza. So the Gemara tells story number one. Story regarding Mar Bar Ravashi, who was in the market of Mechuza, and Shamelahu Shota. Now, he happened to be sitting next to this fool, and the fool was talking to nobody. You know, in today's day and age, by the way, you see people talking to themselves. You know, they're on the phone now. I mean, so it's not. But back in the good old days, and you know, I remember the days in New York where people were just talking, not to anyone in particular, but right, they were talking to themselves. So you had a Shota who was in the streets of Mechuza, and he was having a conversation with himself, and Dekamar, and here's the following statement that he said: Reish Mesifta Demalich Bemasa Mechasya, the next Rosh Yeshiva, who is going to be ruling in the town of Masa Mechasya, in the town they're in. So Tivyu Mechase. He signs his name to view me. Okay? So that's what the crazy person was saying. But again, this crazy person is talking to nobody, but it's a reflection of Nevuah. So Mar Bar Rav Ashi said, wait one second. The person who signs his name to view me. So Amar Manchasin to view me, Barabana, no. That's how I sign my name. And so now, hearing this Nevuah from the Shota, so he realizes that he was tapped to be the next Rosh Yeshiva of Masa Mechasya. Shema mina l'didi kai mele shaita. Okay, it's a fortuitous time for me. I'm going to become the Rosh Yeshiva. Kam asa. So now he gets up to walk towards the yeshiva to assume his position. Adas im nirabana lo sfir l'rav acha medifta b'resha. So, as he was walking towards becoming the Rosh Yeshiva, so the rabbis appointed a pair of Talmidei Chachamim to ask Rav Acha from Difti. So, sorry, Imnu Rabban Lasvur Rav Acha Medifta Bereisha. Sorry, there was at that very same time a decision that was made in the yeshiva to appoint Rav Ach Medifti as the Rosh Yeshiva. So Kevin Deshama de Asai Shad Zugad Rabban Lagabe. But they heard that Mar Bar Rav Ashi was coming, so they sent a pair of Talmidei Chachamim, so Imlucha Bay, in order to ask and basically say, what do you think, this is a good idea or this is not a good idea? Akve. So He held the two Talmid Chachamim, meaning he basically didn't answer the question, but at the same time he also didn't give them permission to go back. Sent another pair of Talmid Chachamim, and they too were stopped over there. Adamala Be'asara. And they kept doing this two by two by two, five times over, and we now have a quorum of 10 messengers of the Beis Din. Kevin Damalu Be'asara Pasachu V'tada V'darish. And so now he had a quorum of 10, and he started saying shir. Okay, so an easy way to get a shir is basically to detain. So after detaining 10, Talmidei Chachamim started saying shir. L'fishim poskim b'kala pochus me'asara. Now when you have your convention, so you can only start the convention once you have a quorum of 10 men. So Kari Rav Acha Nafshei. So now, essentially what happened is that Rav Acha, who thought that he was going to become the Rosh Yeshiva, but then basically got the position usurped from him based on this makeshift quorum, and Mar Bar Avashi, who ended up expounding, and so Mar Bar Avashi in fact got the job, as per the Nevuah. And again, the whole point the Gemara is telling us with the story is that where did he get the Nevuah from? He got it from a Shote who was talking in the street. So, but anyway, as a consequence, Rav Acha did not become the Rosh Yeshiva. And he was close to becoming the Rosh Yeshiva. He was nominated to be the Rosh Yeshiva, but he didn't get it. And Kari Rav Acha Nafshei. And Rav Acha realized that it was a missed opportunity, and very interesting idea. Kol amarim lo lo b'mehera mitivim lo, v'chol mitivim lo lo b'mehera marim lo. He says, once you were close to an opportunity of becoming having a certain success, and it was taken away from you, so you're not really going to get a second chance at it. It's unlikely. Opposite's also true. Meaning, if you had a success, so then the likelihood is that you're going to have more success to follow. So basically, I hate to tell people to give up, but sometimes you got to give up. Meaning, you almost got the job, you didn't get it, okay, so you got to give up. Again. Right, you also don't want to give the idea and the message of, yeah, you should give up. But, sometimes you have to look at things as a simon. Okay, so that was one story regarding the Shota getting Nevuah. Now we're up to the Tinokas. Also, there's Nevuah by children as well. Ma'iki Hadabas Rav Chista. So we have a story here with the daughter of Rav Chista. Havayasve Bekhanfe Davua. She was sitting on the lap of her father. Havayasve Kame Rava Virame Barchama. And two Talmid Chachamim were there. Rav and Rami Barchama. Amar La Man Minayo Bais. And so dad asks her, now seriously, jokingly, you don't get the tone from the Gemara. So, but dad asks his daughter, which one of these two would you like to marry? So I'm really terrified. So she says, I'd love to marry both of them. Okay, now obviously an impossibility. She can't be married to both of them at the same time. But she's saying over a Nevuah, meaning there's something prophetic to that which she's saying. So they both realized that they're going to be the husbands. Here's the problem. Right. The first one in is going to be the first one out. So the... Okay, we all understand. All right, so Amar Rava V'ana Basra. So Rava called it first. He says, I'm second. That's right. Okay, let's get to the two dots. Amar Avdim Demin Chaifa, Kodim Shiyocha Adam Vishte Yeshlo Shte Lavavos. Before a person eats and drinks, so he has two hearts. Meaning he's confused, right? When you're hungry, your mind is not settled. So La'acha Shiyocha Vishal Sein Lo Ala Levecha. But after you eat and drink, so one lave, so you have one heart. So basically, your mind is really settled only after you eat and drink. Shenema Ish Navov Yilavev. So Ksiv Navov Luchos. So the word Navov in this context means you're empty, you're hollow. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk from the Luchos, Navov Luchos, meaning it's basically hallowed. Umetargamin and Chalil Luchin. And if you look at Targum over there on Chumash, so you see it's translated as hollow. The word chalil. So basically, if you are hollow, meaning you don't have food inside of you, you don't have drink inside of you, so you have multiple hearts. You're confused. You can't think straight. I'm Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. Aragel b'yayin afilo libo atum kibesula yayin mefakcho. Someone who drinks wine on a regular basis, your brother would love this gemara. So make sure to say this over to him. So someone who drinks wine on a consistent basis, so even if his heart is stuffed up, so yayin mefakcho, the wine is going to basically bring him out. The tirosh yinovev besulos. Basically, it makes somebody rested, secured, confident. It settles you down. Okay. great way to end. Okay, we stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the two dots on the bottom of the Amud.